Yes, here we are once again in the beautiful month of May. Welcome back to PRQ Homesteading Expanded. And today's show will be talking about black and white law versus color law. So, y'all know that here on planet Earth, we can face some real pressures, weather not being so great, bills, building something lasting with our own hands. And lately, one of the biggest tests I faced this past week wasn't on the land. It was, as you all know, my bankruptcy court hearing that took place this past week. Creditors pushing hard to lift the automatic stay, wanting to move forward against the property. I represented myself pro se, standing alone in front of the judge, no lawyer. My heart was pounding, but it wasn't pounding from fear, it was pounding from excitement. Although I felt relaxed, feeling the reality of my situation, telling myself to stay calm, speak slowly, and know it's already done, and to stand in my truth. I was remembering something powerful while I was driving to the bankruptcy court that morning. What we focus on doesn't just observe reality, it helps create it. Just like the old double slit experiment that I have seen being presented in some videos this past week. Particles exist as waves of pure possibility until the observation collapses them into one definite outcome. I realized my attention was the force deciding which version of this court hearing would solidify. The old me would have had been obsessing over the fear, replaying worst case scenarios, checking every possible angle of what could go wrong. I would be collapsing the exact reality I dreaded. The creditors won, the stay was lifted, the homestead that I had created was slipping away. Instead, I focused on the present moment and knowing, as Shane always says, it's already done. And I am just playing the game. I made a deliberate choice to focus on what I know is to be true, and that is, I have already won. I placed my attention on the next knowing version, the judge understanding the situation at hand, the stay remaining in place. The case moving forward in a way that protected my homestead property, not some fantasy leap, a calm, solid outcome I could feel is possible. I handled what needed handling, preparing documents, showing up ready. I put on this beautiful dress that I had hanging in my closet with a tag still on it. Threw on a little bolero black jacket with my heels and put my hair up, and I was ready to go. I looked the part, the lawyer pro se or the pro se litigate, and I refused to feed the fear with constant mental checking and worrying as the old version of me would have done. It's part of the programming. And when we are in the here and now, you are aware of it and can change the outcome by observing and changing our thoughts. I've starved the unwanted version of attention and fed the one that I wanted. And here's what happened. The hearing went exactly as I had been consciously observing. The judge didn't confirm the case. He postponed the case until June 10th and did not lift the automatic stay. We kept the protection we needed. To all the listeners that are out there, this isn't magic. It's how reality works. Your attention is collapsing possibilities into form every single day, every single moment, with your finances and in everyday challenges. When creditors, bills, or setbacks scream for your focus, you have a choice. You can obsess and make the problem more solid, or you can acknowledge what's real. Handle your responsibilities, then deliberately redirect your attention to the version you want to experience. The obstacles moving aside, the life you're building becomes more solid with every focused day. The court win wasn't luck, and it was proof that where we place our attention consistently is what becomes real. So protect your focus like you protect your garden or your pets. Pests. I don't know if I protect my pests, maybe my pets. Guard it from spiraling worry, from endless bad news scrolling, from everything trying to hijack your observation. Choose moment by moment the reality you're collapsing into form. You're not just starving, or you're not just surviving out here. You're a conscious creator shaping your homestead future. Start observing the thriving version and watch your world reorganize itself to match it. And on that note, Shane, any thoughts?
Absolutely. And what I want to point out is everything that you just spoke, you are actually in a creative state that you will experience because that's where your intention is. Robin, the old Robin would have brought a sword, physical sword and shield into court that day.
You're so funny. Oh my goodness.
But now the new Robin that lives in a different reality and is becoming aware of herself
Because she
brought
creates her reality.
Robin, you gotta let me finish.
Oh, sorry.
Gotta let me finish giving you credit.
Okay.
The new Robin brings the sword of the tongue and the removal of the emotion attachments to the courthouse in which it creates within people. The sword, the tongue is the double-edged sword. You can create with it. Either way, good or bad, or whatever it may be. Q always said, and I'm going to go back and say this again and again and again, he purposely put houses into foreclosure multiple times, several times, to only prove that when he operated from the heart space in the experience, it worked out 100% of the time.
That is amazing. And
The mind creates the experience. The heart creates the outcome.
yes, 100% right about that.
You're right. Is I mean,
Thank
is that
you.
right?
Yeah.
No. And I'm so glad that you become aware. You're becoming more and more and more aware of who you are and how your emotional attachments to things in this lower reality can affect your future creative state.
You are correct on that. And I will say this, 2 days prior to the hearing, I received an email from the trustee about getting this document done and that document, like 2 days before the hearing. And I have to share with the audience that it shook me up physically. And I literally felt it through my entire body. And I'm like, whoa, wait a minute, stop, stop, stop. This is not happening. Take a breath, take a breath. 2 days before the hearing, they want me to put all these documents together. And I was just caught off guard. But you can still have those experiences where you feel that setback kind of thing where the panic comes in. But if you can be aware of it and bring yourself back to center and breathe. And that's exactly what I did. I got everything put together. I had it in on time, went down to took a ride to Grand Rapids, and everything was fine. But I don't like to have detours. I've always like I'm a very organized person, and when you think that you got everything done, and then all of a sudden something gets brought up, and you haven't heard from them in a month, and 2 days before, hey, you got to get this, you got to do that, and I'm like, what? So yeah, so I did experience that, but I also was aware of it at the same time. So thank you.
I mean, you have a beautiful, and I just want people to understand, and this is helping people, is you sharing your experiences isn't for everyone to get emotionally attached to them. We're really sharing these experiences to show how you're evolving from when we started almost a year ago to where I don't know how long it's been. We've been doing this together, but it's been a lovely journey. But where we began to where you're at now. If you go back and listen, you can hear the evolving and shifting of awareness from one reality to the other. And then you can actually see how you're experiencing things of a higher reality, but yet you're still experiencing things from a lower dimension, which creates duality. So, how do you protect yourself and do it from duality? Well, you have to become emotionally unattached to things of this reality.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And when you stay in the here and now and you stay connected to your spirit, you are the one that has control of everything that happens in your reality, period. There's nobody else throwing dents, or throwing rocks at you from, whatever it may be. You are in control, and that's all there is to it. And once you figure that out and you can proceed accordingly and change things that are happening in your world. So it was a great experience, and I'm going to talk a little bit more about it. But before we get started, Shane, if you could share the call-in lines, greatly appreciated.
I would love to create callers right now to call in. So I'm going to create callers by saying, please call in to PRQ Homesteading, our May 9th show. The lines today are open. Call in at 1-888-627-6008. That's 1-888-627-6008. And if you're out of country, it's 323-744-4831. That is 323-744-4831. And if you're out of this reality, I command our spirit to flow through us and to us through other beings of light here and now to call in and have fun and share amazing synchronicities for people to hear that maybe they experienced this week. And you can also email us at prqhomestead13@gmail.com. That's prqhomestead13@gmail.com with any questions. Feel free to subscribe to this show. It's how we get your information. Robin loves receiving the emails. I'm telling you, this girl is
Yes, I do.
hyped up. You can send her a picture of yourself. You can send her a picture of a date invitation to her. You can. I'm sorry, Robin. I shouldn't be saying that. But yeah, just have fun. And if you feel the need to donate, if you feel inspired to donate, please see call in and there's a donation button, correct, Robin?
There sure is. So if you guys want to make a donation, feel free to do so. It's not required.
Right,
Okay.
yeah.
Thank you, Shane.
Thank you.
Okay, real quick, just a little note for the sponsor. Thank you so much, Nano Ogis, this journey, protecting the homestead, showing up strong every day. It all starts with how we care for our vessel. That's why I trust Nano Ogis, Nano Wellness Sprays, clean, fast absorbing support that helps me stay grounded, keep steady energy, and maintain sharp focus when it matters most. Real results from real ingredients. So if you're ready to take care of your body at the cellular level, head to nanoogis.net and use our PRQ Home 15 code for 15% off, not just on your first order, but all your orders. And as I said before, they have a learn tab for all the scientific information, and there are live testimonials at the website. So nanoogis, fuel for the life you're building. And real quick, MPC show that I'm going to be doing here on May 23rd. So we will not have a show on May 23rd. It will be postponed to May 30th. Okay. So I just want to let everybody know that's listening. We're not going off the air. It's just going to, the dates are just changing a little bit. So I just wanted to share that with everyone. And I think we have a caller on the line before we jump
Hey, but
into.
before we get started on the show, I want everyone to become to let, allow the awareness and listen to the words that we speak and feel the harmonics that we're speaking and anything that we're going to talk about on the show today, Robin. We're going to create that experience for us.
You darn tootin' we are.
So you
And
need to be careful. You're very powerful. You need to be careful, right?
yeah, I know. Trust me, I know. Okay, all right.
All
Before
right.
we take the caller, real quick, a disclaimer. Everything we share on PRQ Homesteading Expanded comes from our own personal journey and experiences. The show is for inspiration and information only, not legal, financial, tax, or professional advice. We are not attorneys, accountants, or licensed advisors. Always use your own discernment and consult qualified professionals before making any decisions about your property, finances, or future. Or just go within. Okay. I think we have Errol on, and she wants to talk about
Oh,
her
I love
upcoming
listening to
plans
Arrow.
for homesteading.
Hi.
Hi, Errol. Welcome to
Hi.
PRQ Homesteading. How are you?
Oh, thank you. I'm great. You guys are on fire. I love it. Thank you so much, Robin, for sharing your experience with us. And because,
Absolutely.
and if anybody's just joining us today, I agree, go back and listen from where we started with all the court hearings and everything, and everything you're saying today. It's beautiful. I love what you're doing. And I am so excited. I'm hitting the border of South Dakota. So I'm on, in the summer, that's where I'm going to do the homestead, is in the Black Hills. So I just was inspired. You just tickled me from the second you guys started talking today. It's been great. And I'm inspired that I'm going to walk through it with you on the show. I don't know anything. I'm just inspired about having a homestead, and I'm clueless. So I really
Isn't that the
need
best place to be, though?
a collaborator to help me get it.
Isn't it the best place to
I'm
be is
sorry, what?
clueless? The best place to be on
Okay.
this journey is clueless.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, I know.
Why
You
is
guys
it?
are taking like every. She was saying she wasn't going to be on a Saturday. I'm like, oh, I don't know what date it is. I'm just going to have to. I'm lucky to know it's Saturday. So I tune in on Saturday, and either you're on or you're not.
Can I ask you a question, Errol, real quick? Why the Black Hills, may I ask?
One, I was born there.
Okay.
And then we moved away when I was 11, and we moved in several different places. I even lived in pine trees in Arizona one of those times. But when we would come back for family stuff, I jumped out and ran out to, I don't know, I might have gone out to go pee or something, but I ran out into the trees, and I felt like I was at home. There's a feeling there that I have. And I know that there, I kind of, now that I am really resonating with the area, I kind of wish, I could ask Q what's behind. I just know geographically the area is something, and I don't know what it is. I don't know, but I'll go into my heart and I'll locate it, and I'll be in there, and I'll resonate with I have some kind of legacy attachment there.
That's
So
cute. That's
it keeps me
beautiful.
drawing
Just
home.
a word of advice, just from my experience. Really, really dive into the chain of title when you figure out what the patent is, because that's really important, which I didn't know when I started my journey. And if I get the opportunity to go back, which I know I will, not if, I will pick up where I left off, and that was putting the chain of title together, because that's really huge. And I'm going to talk about a little bit of that on the show today. I listened to the
Awesome.
few of the Q shows this past week too. So sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. Go ahead, finish with what you were saying. I just had that I wanted to share.
No, I think that, yeah, I'm clueless. I'm going to be there all summer looking for the spot. And you had me on, see, I don't remember the website, but you had me on the website where I could look up how many land patents, like there's thousands of land patents available. But I don't know who lives. I'm not going to steal land from somebody.
Right.
So I have to find land not occupied. So, but
Right.
I'll be hiking the hills.
Right.
I'm excited. And just
And I know that we did a show a while back in regard to the Black Hills. It is sacred Indian land, I think, if I remember correctly. So the chain of title will be very important when you begin your endeavors.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Okay.
Beautiful.
Sounds good. I'll listen to the rest of the show. Thanks, Robin.
You're
Bye, Kara.
welcome. Love you. Thank you so much for calling.
All right. Love you guys. Bye.
Okay, so everybody, I just got through telling you that I had my bankruptcy confirmation. So we talked about the 341 meeting, and I want to kind of share about what the confirmation is. So if you ever hear the word bankruptcy and you think it's just paperwork and payments, well, let me tell you from experience, it's way more than that, especially if you are representing yourself as a pro se litigant. I'm actually going through the Chapter 13 case right now for the new listeners that are joining us, and I just had what's called a confirmation hearing. And this is where everything gets real. It's the make it or break it point. Now, the confirmation hearing is the moment where the judge looks at your entire situation and he decides the following. Is your plan realistic? Is it feasible? Okay, and that's what the creditor that I'm dealing with right now who says it's not feasible, and I'll go into that in a minute. Are you acting in good faith? Yes, the whole process, I've been working my butt off, making sure that I got all the information correct and any changes that need to be corrected, they get corrected. As a matter of fact, I've been down to the bankruptcy court so much that the security guards, they know me well. Just saying. Does it protect the creditor? Now, the creditor was saying that I do not have equitable interests. Okay. So I was able to bring that up in front of the judge. And I did tell him that I do have equitable interest in the property because of the information that I received from Muskegon County assessing records, which show the state equalized value, which is the SEV, if you go onto their website, is $70,500. And the true cash value is $127,607, which exceeds the creditor's bid of $104,707. So this is an equity cushion that protects the creditor. So why they're objecting to it and why they're pushing so hard to stop me from going ahead is I kind of have a good idea why that is. And I did bring up to the judge that I dispute the validity of the foreclosure sale due to the irregularities in the process. As noted in my filing, these defects make the sale voidable under Michigan law, citing Kim versus JP Morgan Chase and Deem versus Sallie Mae. Now, I know other information in regard to my mortgage and what has happened behind the scenes. I might have mentioned it in past shows. I don't know if I'll talk about that today. We'll see. And the third thing that I did bring up to the judge is that LoanCare, who is the servicer of the mortgage? So my mortgage was sold to LoanCare or transferred to LoanCare 1 month after I signed. And I presented Exhibit B, which shows repeated escrow advances, monthly MIPs and PMI disbursements of about $30.23, late fees and large tax disbursements that increase the default. These issues contributed to the arrears. So the property taxes are also current. Okay, so this is another thing that's really important, and I needed the judge to know that. So I have been making all plan payments to the trustee, and I filed the plan in good faith. The plan is very feasible under USC 1325. And I said to the judge, I respectfully request that the court deny the motion for relief of stay, overrule the objections to the confirmation, and allow the Chapter 13 plan to move forward to confirmation. So then the judge asked me if I stopped paying. And so I told him the beginning of the mortgage and when it was sold. And I noticed how the payments were going up. And I did continue to make the increases. And then it just kept going up. And of course, I did do the homestead process and I did stop paying because I truly believe that Allodial Title was solid. But I didn't know this side of the equation, which was the mortgage situation. Okay. So I've learned a lot under this whole journey. So making your payments on time is really big, and I'm way ahead of the game on that. I did request for information 12 CFR 124.36, which is an RESPA. Now, here's the twist that most people don't know. Even if you've done everything right, filed your paperwork, made your payments, the creditors can still show up and try to stop the plan, which they did. He showed up, which is the protection that keeps them from foreclosing or taking action against you, which is happening in my case. All right. So I did let the judge know that I requested information. It's a request for information from Mortgage One and also Loan Care. And Mortgage One came back, and their response to me was, and I have it here, so I'd like to read it real quick. Real quick. I'm getting it. I'm getting it. Hang tight. Got to find it here. Here it is. It says, "We are in receipt of your QWR and have reviewed. However, we are not the current servicer of your loan. Please reach out to your current servicer for assistance." Okay, so they did not respond to my QWR like they should have. Even though they are not the present holder, I signed the mortgage with them, and therefore they need to disclose everything that I did with them. Doesn't matter. And then later, after I requested that from them, I received a letter from Rocket Mortgage. And their response was, "Thank you for requesting this information. Thank you for requesting this information. We'll get back to you as soon as we get." And I'm like, okay, who is Rocket Mortgage? And what do they have to do with my mortgage? So I let the judge know all of this. And I said to him, I said, "I'm just trying to figure out who the originator is, Obi, because here's the fact of the matter. If there is not an original wet ink and all the transfers and we know who has the original mortgage, then the foreclosure is invalid." Now, I don't know if that is the case here with me, but I am definitely researching it. So the judge said to me, he didn't rule, he didn't say, "Okay, I grant the stay." He said, "I'm going to take a few days and I'm going to." Oh, that's what he said to me. Excuse me, you guys. I don't mean to be going all over the place, but he said, "Do you have evidence of this information?" And I said, "I do. I have submitted it with the bankruptcy court. There is a phone transaction or transcript between MISHTA representative, myself, and my forensic inspector. And it talks about the sheriff's deed." And I said to the judge, he said, "Well, it's really normal to have the buyer's name on the deed." And I said, "I understand that. But the deed was created 10 days prior to the foreclosure. And the buyer's name was on it. And it was MISHTA. Is that normal procedure?" And the judge looked at me. He says, "I don't know. I'm not really sure about that." And I know for a fact that it's not, just from the information that I received from the other party that's assisting me here. So the judge is going to take time and he's going to look into my information and read it over, and then he's going to get back to us. So it's still on the table. The removal of the lift is still on the table. Now, if he decides to make the lift or lift the stay, I can come back with the Rule 24 or 2004 examination. And the Rule 2004, you can kind of, it's kind of like a flashlight in a dark room. So what it allows me to say is the Rule 2004 of the Federal Rules of Bankruptcy Procedure, often called the Bankruptcy Examination Rule, it allows the party in bankruptcy case to, such as a trustee, a creditor, or a debtor, to request a court-approved examination. And so that's what I'm going to do if something like that happens. Actually, I did a supplemental brief after the hearing and I sent it in and I requested the Bankruptcy Rule 2004. So what it will do is it will examine into the financial affairs, assets, the liabilities, the transactions, or conduct of the debtor when the information may affect the administration of the bankruptcy estate or the debtor's right to discharge. Because the scope is very broad, courts sometimes describe Rule 2004 examination as a fishing expedition, but it must still relate to the legitimate bankruptcy issues and cannot be used to harass or abuse a party. So that is the other action that I will take, if so. But right now we're doing good. We're right where we need to be. And I know because I know it's already done, right, Shane? And so, okay. Let's see, what else do I have here? Okay, so I wanted to talk about the color of law because I was listening to a few of the Q homesteading audios, and there was Christine from Clark County who was going through a bankruptcy, I do believe, and they had a conversation about their trust, her trust. And she did it with a trust, and I'm kind of getting the feeling that there was something that we were missing, and maybe that's what Q did not have a chance to share with us. Okay, so let me go here. See what's really going on. Okay, you can request documents, ask questions, and dig into things like who actually owns your loan, how it was transferred, and whether the foreclosure process was done correctly. And in my case, that's exactly what I did. I told the court that I'm not trying to avoid anything. I'm just trying to understand what is going on with my mortgage, which is what I should have did before even signing the documents way back when. But at that time, I had just gone through a big breakup and I was kind of homeless. I had a roommate. I was living with a friend and I was looking for a house, and I went through the first-time home buying program through MSHTA and thought it was a good, way to get into a house of my own. And I didn't read the papers. I just signed whatever they said. Here you go, sign it, sign it. Okay, when do I get my keys? That's kind of how I did it. I know, crazy, right? So was everything done the right way? I don't know, but I'm finding out right now what I did with the homestead led me down this path here. And I'm learning a lot in the process. So here's the real takeaway. The process isn't about fighting blindly. It's about being informed, being grounded, and acting in good faith. So sometimes the system expects you to just go along quietly. And there are tools, real legal tools, that allow you to step forward and say, I want clarity. I want transparency. And I want to move forward the right way. And that's what the journey is really about. Not fear, not confusion, but standing in your truth, asking the right questions, and making sure your foundation is solid. Because when you understand the process, you take your power back. And that's where we come into the color of law. So I wanted to look into how that plays into this situation. All right. So the phrase color of law in today's courts generally refers to situations where government, official, or institutions appear to act with lawful authority, but in practice may violate constitutional protections or exceed lawful limits. Under federal law, particularly 42 U.S.C. 1983, courts recognize that police officers, judges, agencies, and other state actors can be held accountable when they deprive a person of rights secured by the Constitution while acting under the authority of government. In modern constitution law, the issue is not whether the government has authority at all and whether that authority was exercised within the boundaries of due process, equal protection, or other constitutional guarantees. and today's judicial system, claims involving color of law are most successful when supported by documented evidence of a constitutional violation rather than broad theories challenging the legitimacy of the courts themselves. Federal courts generally reject arguments that simply claim all courts operate unlawfully or lack jurisdiction. However, courts do recognize legitimate civil rights claims where an official acted outside of lawful constitutional procedures. This includes matters involving unlawful searches, denial of due process, excessive force, wrongful arrest, or unequal treatment under the law. The Constitution remains the foundation of judicial authority, and color of law cases focus on whether government actors honored or violated those constitutional limits. From a constitutional perspective, the concept serves as a safeguard against abuse of governmental powers. The Bill of Rights and the 14th Amendment were designed to restrain state action and protect the people from arbitrary exercises of authority. Modern courts therefore treat color of law not as an escape from legal obligation, but as a legal mechanism to seek remedy when constitutional rights are infringed by those acting under governmental authority. In practice, successful claims require clear documentation, evidence of actual harm, and proof that constitutional rights was violated under the appearance or misuse of official power. Okay, so I wanted to see how that would affect or how that would come into play with what's going on with the foreclosure procedure that I'm going through. So the color of law is powerful, but it is not fit for what I am doing right now in bankruptcy. What it doesn't directly apply to in my case is bankruptcy foreclosure procedure. In the right now, you are right now, I am arguing chain of title, foreclosure process, validity of sale, and right to enforce. State law plus bankruptcy issues, not a constitutional violation. Okay, but where it could apply in my situation would be a government entity like MSHDA violated due process. For example, no proper notice, no real opportunity to participate, or procedural rights denied. Property was taken without lawful procedure. Was the foreclosure conducted outside of legal requirements? No valid sale, but property transferred anyway. Abuse of governmental authority, actions beyond what the law allows. Not just mistakes, but actual violations of rights. So the key difference between my case and the color of law claim. My case was the foreclosure done correctly? My constitutional rights were violated. That's where the color of law would come in my case. Procedural verification. Were my civil rights violated? We won't know until we get the verification of how it was done. And then the bankruptcy court, federal civil rights lawsuit. Okay, so those are how it could play into my particular situation. And yeah, Shane, do you have any comments on that? I'm just curious. I don't mean to be talking.
No. This is your expertise.
Yeah.
I would just create an experience where somebody showed up and got me out of it.
Well, you know what I do? I just command when I do my timeline crashes to crash my bankruptcy timeline.
Yeah,
So
be
that's what
careful
I
with
do.
that. You got to be careful with that. It can collapse in a positive or negative way for you. It just depends. It's always
Ew.
a positive. It's always a positive, right?
Well, if I'm doing it from a positive standpoint, then of course it's gonna go away. It won't even exist. That's my feeling on it. Okay, so key legal principle, UCC 3-301. Who can enforce a negotiable instrument, which is the note? The holder of the note, person in physical position plus proper endorsement. or non-holder in position with rights of the holder, a valid transfer. So those are the things I need to find out. Was there a valid transfer from Mortgage One to LoanCare? And was there any documentation proving that Mishta was the new owner at that point? What kind of endorsements were there? So by doing the 2004 rule, this is going to they're going to have to comply and produce this documentation. So the person with authority to enforce the for the holder. Okay, that's rare. All right, your signature doesn't break, but their proof of ownership can. All right, and then I got these notes here that I'm just sharing for. Here's an example. So I sign my mortgage with Mortgage One. They sell the debt to LoanCare. They are the debt collector who files the foreclosure, but no endorsement on the note or no endorsement is dated after the lawsuit. The court, you have no standing. Case dismissed. Okay, that's one scenario. Your debt still exists. Your signature is still valid, but they can't sue you until they fix the transfer. What this means for me is proper endorsement plus original note delivered. Can they enforce it? Yes. They are the holder. Your signature binds you to them. Second scenario, only mortgage assigned, note never endorsed. Can they enforce it? No. Mortgage follows the note. No note, no standing. Note endorsed after the lawsuit was filed or the foreclosure. Can they enforce? No. Standing is judged at the time of filing. And then note lost or destroyed? Maybe. Do they have it? Can they enforce? Maybe. They must file lost note affidavit and prove ownership by chain of title. So very interesting. So my signature on the promissory note is still 100% enforceable by new owner, the debt collector, or whoever they sold it to, but only if the note was properly transferred and endorsed and delivered before they tried to collect or foreclose. If the transfer was not done correctly, the new owner lacks standing to sue or foreclose, even though your signature is still valid on the original note. All right. Any questions, Shane? Oh, he's on coffee break again? Are you kidding
No, no, no.
me?
I am here. I'm afraid to say anything because I don't want to create anything for your reality.
Oh, don't be afraid. We don't live in fear here on this show. Come on now. It's just your
You're
feeling.
very powerful, though. You're very powerful.
Oh, thank you. You know what? When it comes to standing up in your truth and doing the things that you know are right from your heart, that's where your power comes
Hello.
from. Do you agree? Are you there? Okay, I think I lost him. All right. So you signed the
You back?
promise. What?
Are you back?
Yeah, there you are. Did we lose each other?
Don't think they like for me to tell you how powerful you are.
Wow, we're getting
Yeah.
attention.
We're getting some attention. Don't you love
Woo-hoo.
attention?
Go away, little ones. We're not afraid of you. Okay, so you signed the
No,
promissory note.
I'm telling them to play. Come on. Let if you want to play, let's play. I
Let's
mean, that's just
play.
how it
Let's do
is.
it. Let's
If
do it.
you're gonna show up all the way. We're
Game
not
on,
afraid.
baby. Game on. So, when you sign the promissory note, like I did with Mortgage One, what happens? You promise to pay Mortgage One or its successor. So the legal effect of that is your signature is binding on the debt itself. We know that. So Mortgage One endorses the note in blank or to the buyer and delivers the original to the debt collector. The note becomes a bearer instrument or is specifically transferred. The new owner is now the holder under UCC 3-301 and can enforce it. But remember, the magic word here is transferred. Was the transfer done properly? I want to see the documents. How was it transferred? Where are the payments going from? Where did the money come from? What bank, and so forth. The debt collector does not get the original note or endorsement. It's backdated. It's like fake. Interesting. They may have the mortgage assignment, but not the note. So therefore, the legal effect of that, no standing to foreclose or sue on the note. Your signature is still valid, but they can't prove they own it. So just educating everybody. So the legal principle under UCC 3-301, who can enforce a negotiable instrument? The holder of the note, personal in physical possession plus proper endorsement, or non-holder in possession with rights of a holder, valid transfer. Hear that? Valid transfer. I want to see the validation of the transfer. Person with authority to enforce for the holder. Rare, very rare. Your signature doesn't break, but their proof of ownership can. So this, do you see why that's important to get all that information? So, in the
Do.
real world example, I'm going to give you one. So, me, here I am again. I sign the note with Mortgage One. They sell to the debt collector, which is LoanCare in my case. The debt collector files foreclosure. No endorsements on the note or endorsements is dated after the lawsuit. You have no standing. Case dismissed. Okay. Your debt still exists. Your signature is still valid, but they can't sue you until they fix the transfer. What this means for me, proper endorsement plus original note delivered, can they enforce it? Yes. Why? They are the holder. Your signature binds you to them. Only mortgage assigned, note never endorsed, can they enforce? No. Mortgage follows the note. No note, no standing. Note endorsed after lawsuit filed. Can they enforce? No. Standing is judged at the time of filing. Note lost or destroyed. Can they enforce? Maybe. They must file lost note affidavit and prove ownership of chain. So that's 3-1. Okay, so I have three possible scenarios there once I retrieve the information. All right, so I ask, this is what I need to ask for. I need to ask for the wet ink promissory note, a certified copy, if lost, complete endorsement, chain, blank or specific, proof of delivery, date before the lawsuit or the foreclosure. If they can't produce it, motion to dismiss for lack of standing. So if it goes the way that I'm going to create it, that's where I'm seeing it to do well for me. Any questions, Shane?
No, I'm just writing out a few notes here. You've given me a lot of golden nuggets
I like it.
on sources really talking through you to me right now. And I just came up with a new command based off of the information that you just gave me from
Oh,
source.
look at you creating. I love it. I love it.
Oh, no, it came through you.
Well, I know, but
Basically, the command is I command my spirit to express within me a valid transfer of life force energy directly from source to me now, I can enforce this, and I enforce this right now. In
I
five,
love
four,
it.
three, two, one. Thank you for the golden nuggets. I love
And
it.
so it is, and so it shall be, and we know it.
There
Bam.
you go.
That's right. Okay, so back, I just want to go over the RESPA. Like, I'm learning so much from this actual experience, and I think I really feel the judge was really surprised at the questions that I brought up to, not questions, but stated my facts to him, because I was told from the beginning of this process from the trustees that, are you sure you don't want to get a lawyer? Because most pro se don't make it through bankruptcy court. It's not a good ending. And, I just kind of went, well, you know what? I don't see why I need a lawyer, because the documentation, I'm not going to say it was easy. It was a lot of work filling out the forms and understanding how they work. And I think I must have submitted them maybe once. No, wait, I'm going to say three times exactly. I had to pay for one because it was my fourth time submitting it. But as I do it, I start to understand what they're asking for. and how it flows and how everything, flows together and what they're looking for, as for me being a solid person to confirm. So when I go to the hearing on the 10th, that will be the final confirmation the judge will pass me through. Now, I still got the situation with the creditor and my I don't understand why they're pushing so hard to stop this. And I do know that when we were working on this prior to me filing bankruptcy, we did find out that there was a huge bond connected to my foreclosure. And had they closed on it in November, that it would have been a big payday for a lot of people. I'm not sure who exactly, but I truly believe that all this information that's coming my way about the school bonds and the assessor's office and the sheriff's department and MSHDA and all these foreclosures that are going on here in the state of Michigan, maybe not just in the state of Michigan, because I know right now Texas is going through a lot of stuff, and the people actually went to the community, the their what is it, their county board meetings, and five of the people on the board were arrested for fraud. And the people that went in there to stand up to demand answers, five of them ran for the seats and they are now in those seats. And I kind of feel like that if I can get more people waking up to what's going on in our community, and I truly believe there's a spider web here. I'm not sure how it's all connected yet, but I'm figuring it out. And I do believe there's some kind of a criminal empire, some kind of criminal something going on here in Michigan, because the foreclosures are rising. And when you think about it, when they foreclose and they get paid a bond, and then they get that property again and they can resell it and they get paid not just once, they're going to get paid two, three more times. We're a cash cow for them. Foreclosures are a cash cow. And that is a fact. So, everybody that's out there that's listening, that if you're in a area where they're doing school bonds, you need to get in there and you need to start asking the questions. And real estate mindset, they actually have a pamphlet, and I'm going to try to get a hold of it and put it on our show page, of the steps that you can take to go into the school boards, go into the county board meetings. And I'm actually going to attend the Cedar Creek Township next Tuesday and see what's going on over there. So I'm going to physically start going down there and getting involved. And it looks like we got a few minutes left. But if you all are in an area and you're experiencing this stuff, you need to get down there and find out what's going on in your community. This is how we make the changes. This is how we bring forward new earth. It's really important that we all start getting involved. I also want to say on the video that I listened to, or the audio from Q, I did hear Lee Robinson mention to Q that they had all 50 states, they had people in all 50 states ready to go on the homestead. So my question out there, and I do believe it was Carrie's team, where are you guys at? Come on. Are you guys still doing anything? And if so, please come forward and share your experiences with us. We'd love to hear from you. And on that note, Shane, it's time to close. Well, you got to say anything to the beautiful people?
Just thank you for being here. Thank you for sharing this experience with us in this moment, at this moment, because this moment is the only moment that matters.
And yeah, and I love you, baby.
I
So we're gonna sign off.
love you,
Go
baby.
ahead, sing it. We're gonna sign off.
Oh, no.
We're signing off with a little humor in our hearts, a lot of gratitude in our souls, and deep appreciation for every one of you tuning in and walking this path with us. So remember, what we focus on is what we create. When we choose the positive over the negative, we shape our reality through our quantum field. Remember that quantum field. Stay grounded, stay intentional, and keep the light shining. We love you all. Have a great,
You know what?
beautiful Saturday.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.